being outside of time and space. Shouldn't we clarify, though, that it's outside of time and space as we understand time and space, right? But it's to really go out all the way outside of time and space before the universe, you'd have to go clear
time. Well, time and space still exists. It's like we are, Artie and I live in Boise, but we're not in Boise now, okay? So, but Boise still exists. The monad is not occupying time and space, but time and space is still there doing its thing.
But I'm talking about the projection of the originating monad before the creation of the universe itself, before God decided to be or to become, right? We're talking about like this.
And what do you want to know about that?
Well, I'm just saying, distinguishing, if you use time and space in both scenarios, then it becomes confusing. Like, you have...
Well, no, from the original creator, time and space was actually a creation. Before time and space, there was no time and space. As we know it, there was...
And that's what he was saying, outside of time and space.
Yeah, right, that's within this creation. Okay, but before this creation, time and space is actually a creation.
Right.
And when we existed, and before many universes ago,
49 planes.
there existed no time and space.
Okay.
But it was consciousness. Probably awareness is the closest word we can think of to express what it was, and there was no pain, no discomfort, no fear, just a very peaceful existence. And this is why the prodigal son left. He thought, I would like to experience something else, even if it's painful, just to have a different experience, yeah.
In my experience, I've noticed that there was the theory about someone who's attracted to finances and very 3D bound, as he was mentioning, that may attract these AI spirits thing. But what I've noticed is that when I'm about to do something very spiritual, I typically get attacked, because I've seen spirits since I was a kid. For example, this one before baptism, my bed used to shake a lot, like it just was shaking uncontrollably. And then when the big one was when I think it was a conference that I listened to that said you should pray that different countries should open up, like, you know, China wasn't open.
Yeah.
And as soon as that happened, I heard these female voices come into the room, multiple female voices come into the room. And as soon as I tried to get up, they pushed me to the bed and bound my tongue, and I had to, like, cast them out. Like, what do you think about those entities that...
Okay, well, there's a group of entities that Tibetan calls the Dark Brotherhood. Now, the Dark Brotherhood are people that have progressed through the spiritual kingdom. Now, there are entities... Now, the Mormon Church teaches that there was a bunch of entities that are never incarnated at all. But these aren't necessarily... there are such beings, but these haven't... these beings are not... malevolent or evil, so to speak. They're just made a mistake in their progression. But the ones that are really on the path of evil is called the Dark Brotherhood. And these are people, entities, that progressed just as we're progressing. And they progressed up to overcoming the physical, overcoming the emotional, and then they approached overcoming illusion. But you have to overcome illusion to get to the point where Paul the apostle was when he's on the road to Damascus. Mm-hmm. He had the idea that these Christians were bad and they needed to suppress. His intentions were all good. He thought he was doing God's work. But he began, as he was on the road to Damascus, to question, am I really doing God's work? Am I really seeing things correctly? And when he began to see through the illusion, then he had that great experience. Okay? So, to become a dark brother, as you're progressing along, you progress pretty high up until you get to that point to where you actually see through the illusion. And when you see through the illusion, you have a choice. Do I go continue on the path back to the divine, or do I continue on the path of materialism and selfishness? And there's a number of them that decide on the dark path because they have been through all kinds of human experience, and they decide they want to stay there as a human and become the most potent, powerful human that they can be. They don't want to go higher than human. Okay, they're attached to being a powerful human being, and so they refuse the light of the soul. And so, and DK tells us when they reach this point, it's just not one decision, but they're given a number of opportunities to go back on the path of light. And so it takes several lifetimes for them to become a dedicated dark brother. But when they do, then they cut themselves off completely from soul contact. So they're completely cut off from the higher spiritual realms. It's as if they do not exist for these dark brothers. And they are on a destructive path. And these, in the scriptures, are called the sons of perdition. They've committed the unpardonable sin, and it's unpardonable because they have cut themselves off willingly from their soul. So they can't get any guidance as to how to progress beyond the path of illusion. So they're stuck in illusion, and they work with illusion, and these work through whoever they can. There's not a large number of them, so you have to be a fairly significant threat to the forces of evil for them to pay direct attention to you. But if they do, you will have something to deal with. But, you know, the little old lady that sees the devil under every rock, she's not, you know, she's not attracting the dark brotherhood. But they also work through agents and deva lives. Now, these deva lives are called the angelic kingdom, and they are composed of many different great entities from high and low. And some of the devas are humans that have gone through the human kingdom and become angelic entities that are in great service to humanity. But the lower devas are controlled by the consciousness of entities like human and the dark brothers. So if the dark brother gets a deva and tells it to do something, it will obey just as much as somebody like Curtis getting a hold of a deva and telling it to do something. or Jesus telling a deva to do something. It doesn't matter. They seek for commands and then they obey. Okay, and they don't think about them because they don't have conscious thought. These are the lower devas. Did you have something, Ed?
I said, it reminds me of the story of the genie who follows your command.
Yeah, a little bit like that. You know, a lot of these old stories are kind of have some truth behind them. And so a lot of them, so it's possible what you were dealing with was some deva that was controlled by the dark brother that was sent to you. Yeah.
Is it the most drastic one that I find it kind of interesting is if I feel very distraught when I wake up, you know, I feel like it was affecting me during when I sleep. I'll look in the mirror and then a slow handprint will show up out of nowhere, like a hand was on me. But other times there's sometimes like a claw, like three claws, like on me like that, or just one big scratch, you know. So I was going to ask you, are these dark brothers, are they more like human-like? Because one of them looked like an actual handprint, and then there's others that have three fingers. It's like two fingers or three fingers.
Yeah, the dark brothers are all in physical form, either in etheric or I'm not sure if anyone are in the dense physical or not, but they are in human form.
Okay.
Yeah. And DK doesn't tell us how many there are, except that.
Philo, right?
Except that they do have great power, and their power is more easily manipulated than the power of the people in the light, because the people in the light, with the disadvantage of it is almost all of humanity are under the control of what the Bible calls the beast. It says basically all humanity has the mark of the beast, and the Dark Brothers use that lower astral feeling. You notice that the masses are manipulated by their feeling. If it feels good, well, they go with it, you know. And so the Dark Brothers use the devas and the powers that they have to manipulate humanity. And they, DK tells us that initially they have a lot more power, and the example was during World War II. Look at Hitler. He was just over 60 million people in Germany, but he produced a threat to the whole world because he was then working through the Dark Brotherhood. And so he produced a tremendous power that amazed everybody, of the power of conquest that he had, until we finally... the forces of light finally got themselves together, and when they did, they finally did overcome him. But initially, he had a lot more power than anyone on the earth in a very short period of time, and it's amazing what he did. And DK talks about this. He talks about how the dark forces are able to manipulate and gather forces really quickly, whereas the forces of light are a lot slower. But when the forces of light make a step forward, he says it remains, whereas when the dark forces are driven back, then they're driven back normally forever, you know. And so, for instance, with slavery existed for thousands of years, and when we finally drove that idea back, nobody's advocating for slavery in the free world anyway.
Yeah, but there is slavery.
There is slavery some places, but not in the United States or the free world as we think of slavery in the old times. You know.
I want a slave.
Not me.
We call them employees now.
Yeah, if you're an employee. Yeah.
Just for services. Some things are influenced by your word and your will.